You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ah! Guest growl, Momo!
Ah!
What up?
What up? How are you?
I am excellent. I'm always excellent, but you knew that Mason was not going to be out vacationed by anybody. So, a little bit. You're getting a lot of innings this month, and here's why. So, I have a very limited time of year where I can take time off because of my other gig, of the Laker gig. So, for example, basically, once the middle of September hits, I'm done until the Lakers are done. I can't go on vacation from, like, I think the first day is September 16th. That's in radio world, that's when our rating starts. So I can't leave from September 16th until whenever the Lakers play. Hopefully it'll be well into June. And then July gets tricky because that's NBA free agency.
Yeah.
And that's NBA Summer League. So I basically take most of my vacation in a six to eight week period between the middle of July and the middle of September. But Mason knows this. But Mason refuses to, he can't let anyone out vacation him. So the minute he saw that there was a week that I was going to work in August, he said, all right, that's it. Costa Rica. I'm going.
So I'm now, going.
Yeah. So now.
And I can't go anywhere because I have a toddler. So you guys
right.
are
love. So you're perfect. Yeah.
In.
We like you're number, you're number one on the hit list.
Yeah. Used to be, I would go, this would be my vacation time too. Cause this is, we have the same schedule, you and I,
right.
But I also have a 2-year-old that I'm not going to go schlep on a plane right now.
Now has Daniel been on a plane?
No. You know, it's been COVID time. So
right.
It's like,
I was thinking about that we threw Jack on a plane when he was basically 6 months old. We went on a trip to Cape Cod, and he was great. He hung in there the whole way. But I was thinking about Daniel, your son, and right after he was born, the pandemic started, right?
Yeah. Well, basically, he was one. So this is how it works with babies. It's actually okay to take babies on a plane because they can't move and go anywhere, right? Once they get mobile, once they start walking and doing stuff, now you're in trouble. Because if they haven't been on a plane before then it's really hard to do that, right? It's really hard to get them when they're like one and a half and they just don't want to sit still. They want to run everywhere and go everywhere. If you haven't had them trained before that, you should just wait till they're like four.
Exactly. So the first flight for Daniel coming. All right. So we got a ton of stuff to get to. Basically, I left for 10 days and the Dodgers won 9 out of 10 games. They completely turned their season around. So we'll get to the Dodgers. I was going to start with the Dodgers, but since you're here, I want to start with this. Rams Raiders on Saturday night at SoFi. And people are seemingly, Ramona and I, full disclosure, are both Raider fans, are seemingly surprised that there were more Raider fans than Ram fans at SoFi. And if you're one of those people, you haven't been paying attention. Mason lies to you about this being a Rams town because he is in the Ramily. He is a huge Rams fan. And he thinks because all the Ram games are on TV that LA is a Rams town. Now, nobody's going to argue it's a Chargers town. In whatever debate we're having, they're a distant third. But this is and has been, ever since the Rams left the first time, a Raiders town. And Ramona, it consistently gets proven whenever the Raiders play the Rams or the Chargers now in LA.
This John, when you're on vacation, we did a poll. I made Mason do a poll, okay? He put it up on his Twitter feed. His Twitter feed.
Where all the Ram fans are.
Yeah, where the Ram fans. It was maybe like 2,000 votes or something. It was 50-50 with Mason's Twitter feed. When I retweeted it, all I had to do was retweet it. No comment, no nothing. I retweet it. Guess what the final numbers are?
I'm guessing 80%. Yeah.
Yeah, 75%.
I mean, and for whatever reason, people, and by the way, phones are open all day today. Whatever we talk about, Rams, Raiders, Lakers, Dodgers, it's Kobe's birthday. We're going to tell some Kobe Bryant stories later because Ramona and I both love Kobe. So lots to talk to. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you want to jump in on any of this stuff we're talking about. But people that lie, like Mason, about this being about this being anything other than a Raiders town, are in denial. The Raiders, as bad as they have been, all right, and since John Gruden came back, they're 19-29. As bad as they have been, Raider fans are always showing up for whatever it is. You could announce that Derek Carr is going to be at a shopping mall, and they would have to hire security to get all the Raider fans in. You could announce that Josh Jacobs is going to In-N-Out, and the In-N-Out would get stormed. Nobody shows up like Raider fans. And I think because, Ramona, they've got an image of, you know, of being tough and, you know, just win, baby, and whatever, people seem like they don't want to jump on the Raider bandwagon. Mm-hmm. The Raider bandwagon is already full. It's already – the Raiders control all of Southern California, and I'll tell you this, if you spend any time in Northern California, there's more Raider fans than Niner fans there. The Raiders have a huge following, and that's what you saw Saturday night at SoFi.
Yeah, I mean, they are to me, like, this was – the Rams are not playing their main guys anyway in the preseason. They're not even, they didn't even have a punter.
But go ahead.
They're not even playing any of their main guys. And – you know their fans know that. So when you just completely diminish the preseason anyway, your fans, like, as much as they're excited to see a game at SoFi, like, you're watching the third stringers pretty much. And all those tickets are going to be for sale. All those tickets,
right.
Like
Mason gave his tickets away because he wanted to start his vacation more than he wanted to see the Rams. And Raider fan never does that. Raider fan would keep his preseason tickets.
I've been to Raider preseason games. Have you?
Of course.
Flew up to Oakland.
Now, you mentioned something that I wanted to get to. Sean McVay, and ever since he started doing this, it's become contagious. Sean McVay announces at the start of preseason that none of his starters are playing. 0-22. No Aaron Donald, no Matt Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, no Robert Woods. Nobody. None of his starting defensive linemen, offensive linemen, linebacker, secondary. Nobody is playing. Most even Patrick Mahomes is playing this preseason. Tom Brady's playing this preseason. So some teams do play some of their guys. But the Rams announced from the beginning of preseason, they're not going to lie to you, no one's playing. That's the way Sean McVay looks at these preseason games. And a couple of years ago, McVay started 7-0 or 8-0, and now all the other coaches are doing it. So, Ramona, here's the weird thing. The Hall of Fame game, like that Steelers-Cowboys game, did a monster number.
Wow.
Television stations, you know, because I worked at Channel 2 and Channel 9, they fight over getting the preseason contract so they can televise the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Here's my question. If I said to you, I'll give you tickets to go see the Rolling Stones, and then the Stones announced that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards aren't on tonight, they're taking the night off, you're getting the understudies. Or if I said, let's go to a movie starring The Rock, but for this particular performance, The Rock is taking the night off, we wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Why do football fans put up with this? Explain it to me.
I think it's maybe those tickets are cheaper. Do you think are they cheaper when they're not there?
No, they are exactly the same price as they are during the matter of fact, if you're a season ticket holder, you pay for both preseason games.
Yeah.
The same price you pay for the opener.
I mean, I guess, you know, for me, like, I go to a baseball game just because I like to watch a baseball game. Lindsay, you went to a baseball game the other day, right? Didn't you just go to the Indians game?
Went on Saturday.
And by the way, Lindsay, is that going to be the last time you go to an actual game where they're the Indians?
I think so. I might go. I'm going to try and go again this week during the week. But as of right now, that's probably my last, quote-unquote, Indians game ever.
Yeah, kind of weird, huh? For somebody that grew
very
up.
Very weird.
And the Indians, they're done this year, right? They're tanking. They're playing all the kids. There's nothing really to watch on the Indian side.
No, I mean, they're not tanking. They're just, they're half their team is hurt, and they have one of the best pitchers in the American League, and young up-and-coming pitchers in Tristan McKenzie. He almost threw a perfect game last week, and then he was, you know, I think he had like one hit in 7 or 8 innings Saturday. He was awesome. But
so you found something to watch, right? You found something interesting
but
about
here's the difference. If she's going, she knows that the Indians are going to play the guys they pay to play. And who would they're playing the Angels, right, Lindsay?
Yep.
So Ohtani played, right?
Yep, and that's kind of the reason why I picked that game. I mean, or you know, I wanted to see them play the Angels because I wanted to see Shohei, even though he struck out 3 times, which is crazy.
Doesn't matter. You wanted to go see him in person so you could say you saw him in person. Ramona, if you go to a Laker preseason game, LeBron and Russ and those dudes are going to play a few minutes.
Yeah, you're
going to get
a
chance
bit.
To see the, you know, that's who the Lakers are. You're going to see Anthony Davis, you're going to see LeBron, you're going to see Westbrook. If the Lakers announced at the start of the game, we're not playing anybody, none of those guys are playing, isn't that kind of a bait and switch?
Kind of. I mean, I think football fans, like, they just, if you want to get season tickets, you have to just put up with it.
Right.
Because you had to buy in. You could just go to the single season ticket route, but if you're part of the Ramley like Mace and you're somebody who wants to go every week, just kind of have to something you have to put up with. And I think at that point, that's when you dump your tickets, right? That's when you sell them or you give them away to a friend and you say, okay, hey, I'm not going to go this week. And like Mace was pretty cool. He tried to offer it to all of us because we're Raider fans. I had a family birthday party to go to. You had something going on, right?
I was Idaho. Yeah.
Yeah. You were still not back. So I would have gone, but you can't skip out on it's like my aunt's 60th birthday. Like that's kind of bad to ditch that for a football game, right? Preseason. So you can't skip out on that. But I think I think that's why there were so many Raider fans there. I mean, generally, that's why every time the Raiders play the Chargers, it's not even close. Like, when the Chargers play anybody,
That's right. So. Anyway, the game was close. It was 17-16. The Raiders won the game. The Rams, something happened in the Ram game that now my argument, you can kind of see where I'm going with this. My argument is that the preseason is a waste. They should get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because college football, for example, has no preseason games. They play all their starters when they bring another team into practice. That's where they play ones against ones if the Raiders and Rams practice together, if the Raiders and the Rams and Chargers practice together. But something happened on Saturday night that kind of is an argument against what I'm thinking. Did you watch any of that game?
A little bit, yeah. Just I tuned in and out.
Okay, so the Rams have a linebacker named Chris Garrett. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was a 7th round pick. Okay. And so that's the type of opportunity you get with, you know, a 7th round pick is going to play a lot in a game. And most of the guys you saw on Saturday night, if you're a Ram fan, aren't going to make the team unless they do what Chris Garrett did. In the game, he had a tip, a tackle for loss, a sack, then another tip, then a strip sack, all in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looked like Aaron Donald. That's the argument, Momo, for keeping the preseason. That if you don't have those type of games where you're forced to play Chris Garrett, 7th round pick, then he's got no shot. Because people see him do it in practice and they say, well, he could never do it in a game. In this case, he did it in a game. So if I left it up to you, would you keep the preseason or would you be with me and get rid of it?
I think I would keep the preseason just in the sense that people do need some tune-ups. You know, they do need some tune-ups. They do need, just some stuff to get them some game action. Like, a lot of the rookie quarterbacks, Trey Lance has been playing for the 49ers.
Justin Fields is in Chicago. Yeah. That's a really big story.
So I think those are important, don't you?
I think you could do them in practice, and I think it's a tremendous ripoff to the fans.
yeah.
a tremendous ripoff to the fans. But I've got some friends that work at the NFL Network that say you should see the ratings for these preseason games. That they're great.
Really?
That, you know, in a summer where, you know, people would rather watch. For example, the ratings for that Hall of Fame game, that Steelers-Cowboys game, were bigger than for the World Series.
Wow.
So if there is a market for it, it's supply and demand. If there is a market for it, then I understand it. But I don't understand why fans put up with, we're not playing any of our stars. Zero. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the Chris Garrett thing is an argument the other way. That maybe they should have a preseason. And they
and also, how would we have Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks isn't very good this year. Have you watched it?
Not a single second.
Literally, I've watched both
episodes.
I usually
always watch it.
Me too.
And everyone said it was bad. And so then I was like, well, I'm not going to watch it then. Because usually I'll watch it when they're two or three in a row, and then I'll tune in. And the first one everyone said was lame, so I was like, eh. Right. We got F-Boy Island to watch here, you know?
Exactly. Picked up for a second season, by the way. All right, so we've got all our usual stuff. Lindsay's here. We got Wheel of Questions. We've got Radio Tinder. We've got Lie of the Day. Now, did Mason have you do a Lie of the Day last week?
He did, and I'm terrible at it. I've just fully.
I'm good at it. I'm 3-0, so I'll do the lie today. At some point today, I will tell a lie.
He did them all last week. He didn't have Ramona do any lies. He attempted, at least, to do his own lies, but one day he completely forgot, so we only got 4 lies of the day last week. But Ramona has yet to.
Okay, so Ramona, tomorrow you'll be in charge of lie of the day, okay? I'll do it today.
Okay.
At some point during the show, you have to drop in a lie, and we'll see if everybody else will see if they can figure it out. We'll get to the Dodgers. There is a lot going on with, I don't know if you saw Shikari Richardson over the weekend. Lot to cover. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ramona, it looks like Andy Dalton is going to be the Bears quarterback, despite the fact that the whole city wants Justin Fields. Matt Nagy, the coach of the Bears, is refusing to say he'll play anybody except Andy Dalton. Is that a mistake?
You know, who are they playing in their first game?
The Rams.
Yeah.
At SoFi against Aaron Donald.
I don't want to put Justin Fields out there in his first game against Aaron Donald. Heck no. Give the kid a chance, you know. Yeah, put Andy Dalton out there to get sacked 5 times.
All right. Are all those calls still there, Jorge? Okay, let's go to line 3, Mo in San Diego. Hey, Mo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, guys? What's up, Momo?
What up?
We have a Mo and a Momo. What's going on, Mo?
I gotta say, Momo, your 30 for 30 is the best. I've listened to it so many times. I just think it's the best. I really do.
Thank you.
And for people that don't know what Mo's talking about, Ramona did a whole podcast series about Donald Sterling and how he was stripped of the Clippers. And I would imagine, Ramona, it's still available wherever you get podcasts, right?
Yeah, you can find it. Actually, there's a new – so every year about this time, 30 for 30 puts out its latest podcast. So they've been doing like these – this one, I think, the new one that just came out today – it's called The King of Crenshaw. It's on Nipsey Hussle. It's done by my friend Justin Tinsley from The Undefeated. It's on the Nipsey Hussle's impact on so many professional athletes, especially basketball
players. I think we had that guy on the show. Lindsay, aren't you friends with Justin Tinsley? Oh, Lindsay signed off for a second.
She dropped off, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm friends with him. He's been working on it for months. I'm excited to listen to it because it just dropped today. But each year around this time, it's like August, and I think mine was kind of an accident because we were kind of – John, can you believe this? We were late. Something I was
you?
Doing was late. Yeah, late.
Impossible.
So we were a little late in getting it out. And so we said, hey, let's wait till the middle of August when there's nothing going on. It'll be a perfect time to drop a podcast. People are looking for some fresh content, right? So it actually just turned out to be a really good time to drop it. And now they just kind of they keep following that timeline. So the new one's out today. But thank you for the compliment. I worked on
all right.
the podcast.
Voice Mo, it says here on my screen that you're a fan of the preseason.
Yes. And you should be, too. Number one, the preseason is an extension of the NFL draft. You have to find out who can play, and you have to have the preseason to do that. That's how the NFL passes the torch for the new stars. They introduce them via the preseason. Number two, the NFL has always been about the front of the jersey, not the back. They don't push the stars to the point where you can't go to a game. Do you know on your best, your Raiders fan, do you know who the fifth guy is on the kickoff return team that's in the back line or the gunner? You don't, but you
Mo,
still support that.
Mo, in college
that's
football,
where they come from.
In college football, which is financially as big as almost anything besides the NFL, I mean, those are the two big money makers. There are no preseason games. They do all of those things you're talking about in practice. Why couldn't they decide which 45 players they want on their roster in practice?
They could do it in practice, but the NFL plays so few games that and the importance of getting to the playoffs is so important. You don't have the luxury of having a do-over if your guy doesn't know what he's doing in a game setting, and there's nothing like a game setting. You have to go through that process. And you don't want the stars to play in preseason because as soon as your guy goes down, you're going to be like, well, why did they play that guy in the preseason? He didn't need the reps.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He doesn't need the reps.
All right,
like,
man.
You should love the
but
preseason.
But, Mo, you don't feel ripped off if you're a season ticket holder for having to pay for those two preseason games.
No, because it's part of the package. And what you're doing is you're getting an idea of the young guys that are going to be impacting your team, and you first see them. That's like – I know it's not the same setup, but summer league basketball has become so big because you get to showcase the young guys and you see what they have before the season starts. This is the way you do it, but the NFL has monetized it, and I know. But it's still an NFL experience. And you're still going to see your number one draft picks and some of your frontline guys, and then you're going to get a chance to see what the new guys look. I think it's good.
All right, Mo, thank you for the phone call. Here is Louie in Whittier. Hey, Louie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Mona. How you guys doing?
What up?
Hey, just wanted to kind of comment on your comment that this is a Raider town. I disagree. I do understand that there's lots of Raider fans here. I do get some of that. But the Ram fan base has been growing drastically. I'm a longtime Ram fan. I'm 51, been watching the Rams since I was a little young boy. I just think a lot of the fans tend to not go. I'm going to give you an example. A lot of Ram fans or Charger fans tend to not go to some of those Raider games just because Raider fans start acting like Raider fans on occasion. Getting a little out of control. What do you
okay,
guys think?
But Louis, how do you explain this then? When I was working at KCAL, KCBS, if the Rams, the Raiders, and the Chargers were all playing at the same time on TV, the Raiders drew the highest ratings every single time. I mean, every time. Let's say like the Raiders are, and it didn't matter who they were playing, like the Raiders are playing Jacksonville and the Rams are playing the Niners, and the Raiders would do a bigger number. How do you explain that if it's not a Raider town?
You know, you do have a lot of Raider fans across the U.S.
So right, but I'm talking about the ratings in L.A. I'm talking about the ratings in Los Angeles only. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a hard thing to explain. And I don't mean to disparage the Rams. I think the Rams have the best chance of the three teams we're talking about, Rams, Raiders, Chargers. I think the Rams have the best chance of going to the Super Bowl. But, people who are surprised when Raider fans take over your stadium haven't been paying attention to Raider fans. They do this every week, wherever they go. So that's why I brought it up. But thank you for the phone call. And Ramona, one thing he said, some people won't go to the games because I think Raider fans get a bad rap in that way. There are fights at every stadium between every team. And for some reason, don't you think there are more fights this preseason than there have been?
I feel like – I think there's been more fights everywhere. There's been more bad fan behavior since fans got let back into stadiums after the COVID stuff.
Right.
Like, and I think it's because everybody's been cooped up. So you're cooped up, and then all of a sudden, they, you know, you get let back out into the world. Like, John, I went to this little family birthday party on Saturday, and I realized it was outdoors, and I kept my mask on the whole time because that's what I do now since I have a kid who can't be vaccinated yet, okay? And so I just kept my mask on. They were playing 60s music because it was her 60th birthday party. John, we danced for like an hour. We were like, I never danced this much, but I haven't been out in a year and a half.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's just
everybody's ready
like,
to cut loose.
As soon as you get out, like, we were just like, I mean, I don't want to, I felt like Venice Mace out there. I was like, where's the Venice Mace? Hey, where's the green stuff, right? I mean, it was like a 60s party. Like, I haven't been out to anything like this in a year and a half. I mean, I understand. This is what happens. You go to a stadium, people haven't been out and interacting with anyone. Even if you have your mask on, it's like they don't know how to behave anymore.
like you say, in the case of some people, they've just been cooped up,
yep.
And they haven't, none of that energy has had an outlet. So
yeah,
I had to drink
water and stuff out. I was like, man, I'm tired. I haven't been out like this.
All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions. Momo's in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, I've got a fantasy football dilemma coming up a little bit later in the show. My draft is next week, the Hollywood Football League, where last place Mace, Steve Mason, has finished last five out of the last
six years. I want to get in your league. Can I get in your league?
Spots open up every once in a while. There isn't an open one this year, but when one does, now that I know you're interested, yeah, we'll put you on.
I need another list. I need another league to be in.
It's just fun to beat up on Mason no matter
what that's why.
He does. He finishes last.
He can make
all the right decisions, and he'll still screw it up.
I play baseball with him, and he is second to last.
Yeah,
second to last.
It's comical, and he tries to win, which makes it even more entertaining.
He's like streaming pitchers every night.
Yeah,
and he keeps making me these offers, and I go, Mace, I don't need another closer, but I can do it for this, and he just keeps making me the same offers. And then two nights later, he just drops that player. I'm like.
Right.
Okay, man.
All right. So every day around this time, we spin the wheel of questions. Spin it, Jorge. Oh, this is good. All right. By the way, Wheel of Questions is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around and not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right. So did any of you guys ever see, this is an old movie, but did any of you guys ever see the movie Being John Malkovich?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Jorge, did you ever see it?
Oh, I haven't.
All right. So basically the premise of that movie is you get inside of John Malkovich's head. You can live inside his head and see exactly what he's thinking. If you had the ability to get inside someone else's head for 15 minutes, but you get to pick the person.
Ooh.
It can be anyone alive today. Who do you pick? Momo, what do you think?
Ooh, this is good. I like this. Whose head do I want to be
for
in?
For 15 minutes, you can be inside their head.
You
want me to go? I got my...
I want to be in Trump's head.
Do you really?
Yeah.
See, I think that might be a waste of the opportunity. I don't think there's much to Trump. Do you?
I mean, he's really interesting. Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah.
So
my other option, I think would probably be Oprah. Just because it would be
that's
super
good.
Cool.
All right.
That's it.
Mine is. I just want to see if he is absolutely crazy, like insane.
Uh huh.
or if he's kind of a genius.
Okay.
Kanye.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So if I'm in his head for 15 minutes, what I could figure out, because I've always thought Kanye is a mess, you know, just a complete hack. Lindsay, how about you? 15 minutes inside somebody's head. What are you going with?
That's a good question, John. I like this.
I think, yeah, this is a good question. Your questions are very good. They really make you think.
Well, yours are more like very moral dilemmas. Mason's
they come up like, they come up cooking? On a... Wait, we have no control, you guys. Yeah. They come up on a wheel.
I know. I'm just saying. Well, your wheel is preferable to Mason's wheel. I like your wheel better.
All right.
But I'm going to say probably Elon Musk.
Oh, that's good.
He's so fascinating and he's so smart. And he always says that he thought that people, like growing up, people thought that he was such a weirdo because he's like, why isn't everybody else's brain running a million miles a minute? Is it just me? So yeah. I'm the weird one. So it would be interesting just to think of, like to see all the things he thinks of over the course of 15 minutes, because it's probably a lot.
I don't know this for a fact, but I bet Elon Musk is like me in that he doesn't sleep a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think definitely. That there's always a million things going on in his brain. All right, Jorge, you get 15 minutes in somebody else's head. Who are you going with?
Oh, it's
got
to be a superstar, either Messi or Ronaldo, one of those two.
But see, you'd have to then go play soccer, and see it. Would you automatically see the field like they see the field?
Oh, man, I hope I would. You know?
Ooh, I got another one. What if we could do 15 minutes inside some like really good poker pros' brain?
Ooh, that's a good
one. So then we could learn to play like them.
Well, see... you could learn how to play by them by just watching them play. Are you a good poker player?
Pretty good. Not like those guys, though.
See, the number one mistake people make when they play poker. I'm a good poker player. I'm not great. But the number one mistake they make is they play too many cards.
Yeah.
They don't have the patience to wait for the right opportunities. As they say, the nuts.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the nuts in poker, which is the best hand, and you know you can't lose, then you can just empty it out on a bunch of people. But, so if you would, like, if you could be inside the head of Doyle Brunson, would you become him?
Yeah, that'd be
cool. That's a good question.
Sticking with Trump. I still think, I just want to know what's going on in that guy's head.
Well, wouldn't you just think that, see, I think he's like the ultimate narcissist. You know, now that's given him a lot of success in life.
No, I think he's far more strategic than people give him credit for.
Really?
Yeah, I think very strategic. I know people who've had like interesting conversations with him where a lot of the stuff, you know, a lot of it people probably think he just kind of blurts out, but I think a lot of it's calculated.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you were in his head for 15 minutes, you could probably, figure it out. All right. So
Kanye's that's the best answer. Kanye's. Yeah.
Because I'd love to see. Now, could I write a really good song in 15 minutes if I was inside Kanye's head?
No. Because,
you know, you can make a fortune off of one song. I met a guy once who wrote one hit song for Air Supply. Remember Air Supply?
Yeah.
And it was like their biggest hit. I'm All Out of Love. Have you heard that song?
Of course.
I'm All Out of Love. I'm so lost without, you know. All right. So this guy that I know wrote that song. And based on the profits from that one song, he bought a house in Beverly Hills. So if you could hit one hit song, you could make a fortune. That's all you
Although,
need.
Although some of that, I think, is the way the deal's set up. Like if you write that song, but you don't get the created by credit, then you won't get all that or the royalties.
I don't know. This song.
Good song.
Big hit, made a ton of money. The guy basically retired off it. Hey, by the way, what'd you think of the all blue Dodger jerseys that they wore over the weekend? Me too. I didn't like them. I mean, part of the reason is I think the Dodgers have the perfect home jersey.
Yeah.
The white with the blue script and the red numbers. I've always loved the way their home jersey looks. And I know what they're doing. This was a salute to their Hispanics fans. It said Los Dodgers on the thing. But I just think you could do that in script on the white jersey and do the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand alternate jerseys. I understand that they're trying to sell things at the gift shop. I get it. But not a fan. Didn't love them.
I just think when you have an iconic jersey, don't mess with them. I mean, I kind of feel the same way about the Yankees jerseys, the Red Sox jerseys. Like, I don't need those blue Red Sox jerseys. Just stick with the white ones. They're fine.
Right. By the way, if I told you I was going to buy you a Dodger jersey, okay, any player you want, what player are you going with?
I'm a Kenley Jansen person.
Okay.
That's
Jorge,
that.
What about you?
Julio Urias, no doubt.
Okay. You guys both made a fatal mistake.
Why?
You never pick a current player. Because in baseball today, that guy could be traded next year.
True.
You should have said, like, I would take Jackie Robinson because it's timeless.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Sandy Koufax because it's timeless.
Yeah, Gibson.
I thought, say, for example, Jorge, I thought you'd take Fernando. I think to have a, like, old school vintage Fernando jersey would be awesome.
I already have the Fernando. That's why I went, let's go with a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, then I would want a Raul Mondesi jersey because that was my guy.
Nice!
That's my guy, man. That was my favorite player growing up, and I just conveniently choose to ignore everything that happened after he retired because he's in jail now. But as a player.
Is he really?
I think so. He was a mayor.
I love
Mondesi.
He was a five-tool player.
Yeah.
He did everything right. You know, I learned something that last week about Dodgers. You know who the all-time L.A. Dodger leader in home runs is? Who
has
the most home runs as an L.A. Dodger? I'll give everybody one guess. As a Los Angeles Dodgers.
Eric Karros?
Correct.
Woo!
Very good. Karros was in Idaho when I was there. So I played golf with him one day, and I started talking to him, and that came out. And I thought, well, but he's so humble. He goes, you get into the Brooklyn years, and then the guys like Duke Snider and Gil Hodges get involved. He said, so the real answer is one of those guys, but I have the most in
yeah, Eric, I used to love how Vin Scully would say Eric's name.
Him and Ross Porter, Eric Kirsch.
Yeah, Eric Kirsch.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, coming up next, for some people this is a sad thing. Ramona and I choose to celebrate it. Today is Kobe Bryant's birthday. And so we're going to tell some Kobe stories coming up. I tweeted something out today about Kobe that if you're a Kobe fan, you will absolutely love. I'll tell you what it is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so today, August 23rd, is Kobe Bryant's birthday. Of course, Kobe is no longer with us. It's a sad subject for a lot of people to talk about, but he provided so much entertainment for so many people for so long that a lot of people today are recognizing him on social media and doing a lot of different things. And one of the things ESPN did, Momo, SportsCenter, was they tweeted out a 5-minute video clip of nothing but Kobe buzzer beaters.
Oh, that's cool.
Just five. So I retweeted it. You can, if you have access to Twitter, you can go to my Twitter account, Twitter at LA Ireland. And I told this story when I retweeted it. That for the 20 years he played for the Lakers, everybody in the traveling party would talk like this. Well, if we can just keep the game close, then we can Kobe it at the buzzer. He was that dependable in those situations that his name became a verb. That we knew if it was a one possession game, either tied, down one, down two, that we had a great chance. And the thing you'll notice from looking at all of those clips is how many times the defense was actually good.
Yep.
It didn't really matter. He figured out ways to get shots off. Matter of fact, and then Jorge, see if you can find it. I do this a couple of times a year. If you just go onto YouTube and type in Kobe buzzer beater Portland. I did a game once in Portland when I was a sideline guy that the Lakers were down 3 at the end of regulation and had to, hey, it's a Daniel appearance.
It's Danny ran in.
Hi, Daniel.
Oh, he loves to run in the room.
That's awesome. So that is Ramona's son, Daniel, age 2.
Mommy, hey, what's up?
Hey, Mom, what's up? So, Ramona, at the end of regulation, this was the last game of the season, and the Lakers were either going to be seeded 2nd in the West or 7th, okay? That's how tight the West was that year. And I was doing sidelines. Paul Sunderland was calling the play-by-play with Stu. So at the end of regulation, the Lakers are down 3. And Kobe is perfectly guarded by Ruben Patterson.
Perfectly guarded.
And he throws in a three to tie it. And then at the end of the game, in overtime, we're down two. And he did it again. Jorge dug it up. Here's Paul's call of those two shots. This is in 2004.
Are the Blazers going to go for their foul, or what are they going to do?
Kobe with it, guarded by Patterson, staying outside the arc, dribbling. Patterson keeps his feet. Kobe forces. Oh! He made it! He threw it in! In the regular season, possibly. Out to Kobe. Fall away high. Are you kidding me?
Are you? That's the way to end the regular season, I guess.
I mean, those are great calls by Paul, first of all. But that, Ramona, he did it all the time.
Yeah.
And if you watch this 5-minute SportsCenter clip that they put together, I think we forgot, because he did it so often, how unbelievably clutch this dude was. And that's the argument you could make. You know, I think that the argument for greatest Laker of all time, if you want to argue Kareem, that could be the answer. If you want to argue Magic, that could be the answer. But if you want to argue Kobe, that's why. That at the end of games, nobody, maybe in NBA history, pulled off shots like this dude. And people point to me all the time and say, well, you know, he missed a lot of those too. But the fact that he was always willing to take it and would make these shots that seemed, Ramona, that seemed like they were out of a movie, that they were just impossible. And he threw them in again, 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 and again. And so SportsCenter, in honor of his birthday, put together 5 minutes of, and all these shots are either at the buzzer in the last 10 seconds of a game. And he just did it again and again and again and again. And no matter how good the defense was, it didn't matter.
You know, my favorite part of it was, is like, he really, he always said, I practice those shots. And I was like, come on. Like, how do you practice that shot? Where somebody, you're falling away. Somebody is jumping in your face. Like, it's not, that's not something you could simulate or practice, but he really did. And so, like, Matt Barnes would always tell me these stories of, you know, him, he would go down and work out with Kobe in the middle of the night or in the morning or whatever it is. His trainer, Frank, you know, his trainer, Tim Grover. He would always do that. He used to practice those. Like, you wonder, what was he practicing when he would make Tim Grover come down and meet him in the morning and stuff? That's what he would do. He'd be practicing those crazy shots. And so, I used to laugh, but then I kind of saw Steph Curry do that too, where when you go to a Warriors practice, at the end of practice, Steph will spend like 5-10 minutes just shooting half court shots. Just and it's kind of like what you used to do when you're a kid. You just goof around. But Steph really does those. So when you wonder how Steph makes the half-court shot, it's because he's actually practicing them.
Right. And if you don't if you don't pick Steph up the second he steps into the half court, you're dead.
Yeah.
The story I always tell about Kobe, and I've told it on the air a bunch of times, but so Mason and I have been on at every imaginable time slot. We started as a morning show. We did mid-mornings. We did middays like we're doing now. We did afternoon drive. When we first met, we were doing a night show. We were doing 7 to midnight. So we've been on from 6 a.m. to midnight at every imaginable time slot over the 26, 27 years we've been doing this. So because of that, and I was the Lakers sideline reporter for 10 years before I've been the play-by-play guy, and I've done that for the last 11. So I've been working with the Lakers for 21 years. And I got there the first year that Kobe and Shaq got there. So my timing was lucky. But Ramona, no matter what time I was doing the show, sometimes I would have to go to the arena like ridiculously early because we had an engineer there. And he would say, they would just, like Amanda or Greg or whoever was setting it up, would say, hey, do you mind going in early, setting up for Mason in Ireland, and we'll just pay you for the extra 3 hours, since they were paying the engineer to do the game anyway.
Right.
So no matter what time I got there, could be 11 a.m., could be 2 p.m., could be 6 p.m. right before the game, always on the court was Kobe. It was a running joke. Like, even if the team had done shoot around at 9 in the morning and gone back to the hotel, Kobe came back to the gym on his own. And just nobody put in more time than he did. And so one day I asked him, like, he would just come over to the scores table where I was doing the show. And so I got to have all these conversations with him. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I know people can't copy your talent, that you're a once-in-a-generation player. But if I was your teammate, I would try and copy your work ethic. In other words, if you were over here at noon shooting on one end of the court, I'd be on the other end. Or if you were staying after games, and he did this a lot, and shooting until 1 in the morning, I'm that guy. I don't want to be outworked. I want to know that I'm working as hard as I possibly can, and I would use your work ethic as an example. I said, how come I've been doing this all these years, and you and I keep meeting in these gyms, and I'm doing radio, and you're working on your game, and you're always by yourself? I said, how come more people don't try to copy your work ethic? And he said, only one teammate ever did. And I only played with him for 1 year. It was Caron Butler.
Yep.
He said, the 1 year I played with Caron Butler, he would ask me all the time, what time are you going? Can we ride together? If I was coming from somewhere else, he'd meet me at the gym. He just wanted to put his work in. And you, strangely, sent me a story today that I'd never heard before from Caron Butler. He was doing a podcast. And he said the 1 year he played with Kobe, they were in Charlotte. This is in that five-minute montage I put out on Twitter. And we're in the huddle. And the game was tied. There's only 4 seconds left. And Rudy T was the coach. And he's drawing up all this stuff on the board. And Kobe said, F that. Just give me the ball right here at this spot. Whoever wants to take the ball, it's going to be part of history. And Lamar Odom said, I want to be part of history. And he threw it right to Kobe. Kobe hit the shot, and that was game.
That was it.
And I just think Jeannie Buss has a thing that she says that she realized, actually, even before Kobe died, it was when he retired, that if she ever gets another player like that, she'll never take it for granted. And I hope people realize, even though Kobe's not with us anymore, that if you get a guy like that, and we've got one now in LeBron, and who knows, AD and Russ may be right there too, but if you get a player like that to play in your city, don't take him for granted, because he's not going to be there forever. Kobe played for 20 years for the Lakers, Ramona. I think I saw more of his games than almost anybody, because I got there right when he did it. And it's just, the guy constantly surprised me with his talent. And John Wooden used to have a saying that luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you could make your own luck. And that dude did. He just prepared and prepared and prepared. And when those opportunities came up at the end of games, when it was tied or they were down two or whatever, he had already taken that shot 1,000 times. And that's why he was so comfortable making them.
So I always like to think of Kobe as kind of like, you know, that he grew up in Italy. He did not speak the language. He did not speak English as a first language. I mean, it was, he really spoke, he spoke English and then he learned Italian. And then when he came back to the States, he used to say, like, I didn't understand what slang was. Like, people would use these expressions in English, and he knew English, but not like we would, not like if he grew up here.
Right.
So he comes home and he has no idea what a lot of people are talking about. He was awkward. He didn't have a lot of friends in high school. So he channeled all that sort of awkwardness and shyness and he had a hard time fitting in. He channels all that into basketball. I mean, you think about, like, if you're like a nerdy kid or somebody who has trouble making friends, or you feel like you don't have a place, or it's hard for you to, you know, to find out who likes you, or somebody doesn't, you didn't get enough likes on Instagram or whatever it is, right? That would be today's version of this. He just channeled all of that feeling of not belonging into basketball.
And we were the beneficiaries of it. We get to watch it for all those years. So Kobe's birthday today, August 23rd. We thought it'd be fun to do a segment on him. Okay, coming up, Sha'Carri Richardson talked and talked and talked, and then she raced. And she finished last. Does she deserve to be criticized for that? We'll get into it next. 710 ESPN.